smarts in here, the smarts in here, yeah.
Doom. I reference Cena so much, I'm sure you assume that I got a man crush, but I swear it's just random, not fandom. Ignore the lifelike mannequin. You can't see it, I didn't see it. Next to me in my IKEA, and drive somewhere scenic to watch the sunset.
And yo, yo, it's your boy Sean Puff. I'm here with Mike K, and this is Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Sue. What's going on, Mike?
What's happening, man?
Nothing much, man. How was your Christmas?
It was good. It was very good.
Santa bring you everything you wanted?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice. Santa didn't bring me shit yet. He doesn't like me. I was naughty. Well.
Apparently.
Yeah, he let me drive the sleigh for a little while, though, so it's all good. I hang out with him every Christmas. We kind of just go kick it around. I drive the sleigh, bring in a few presents, you know, just because it's fun. He knows I like cookies,
yeah.
So he lets me go in and get some of the cookies, dude.
There you go.
Man, it's been a while since we recorded an episode. I know we tried to a couple times, never did. Then we recorded one. You don't even realize it, but it never got released because I didn't have time to edit it. but anyway.
Unbelievable.
Hey, I'm a busy man. I do a lot, man. I'm always on the go, working, doing something, dealing with some shit, putting out fires. But I'm over here right now. I'm ready. We got the Smarkies this week. So this week, we're just going to cover the Smarkies. We can throw out a few things before we get into it, just about shit going on, because there's a lot going on right now. But I'm looking to get us back every week. This is going to be the rebirth right here with the second annual Smarkies. Not the Sparkies. It's going to be fun. I got my bottle of 19 Crimes the Banished sitting right here that I opened last night. Had a glass. I got a glass of Jim Beam black extra aged bourbon. And I got a cup of coffee with some Kahlua and some rum chowder in it. So I'm ready to get into the Smarkies.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, though, I just want to talk about everything else going on. Let's talk about the Wednesday Night Wars. We might have covered one, like the beginning of it, when the last episode we did. But it seems like NXT is kind of taking control now, and their ratings still going up, even on a taped episode for Christmas, and they still beat AEW. So that's not a good thing for AEW, but that's where we're sitting right now with that.
Yeah, not surprising.
Did you see our fraternity brother reached out and offered to consult for them?
No.
Do you even know who the fuck I'm talking about? I don't think you do.
No, I don't know who you're talking about.
Vince Russo.
Vince Russo? Yeah.
The SIG talk, yeah, bro.
That would make it even worse.
We should get Vince Russo on our show. How are we SIG talks if we haven't tried to get Vince Russo on the show?
I bet we probably could.
I'd love to have him. He has his own podcast, so he probably wouldn't come on our podcast. But, I mean, we're fraternity brothers,
yeah,
he should. He should. If he doesn't, he'd probably be like,
you can come on mine.
I'd do that. As long as I can plug Smart Spot Monkeys and Super Kicks, I will go on Vince Russo's podcast all day long. It works for me.
I probably wouldn't. Yeah, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't I go on Vince Russo's podcast if he's going to allow me to say, hey, make sure you tune in to Smart Spot Monkeys and Super Kicks?
I'd go on just to talk to him.
That too. He'd be a fun interview.
Yeah.
Man. So we got a New Year's show coming up for AEW. They got the women's title on the line. Roman Reigns is going to fight Dolph Ziggler at the New Year's Eve bash in New York City. Did you hear that one?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
No, they do that all the time, though.
No, but it's gonna be during that whole program. It's not like a separate thing. Like Steve Harvey is the host, and Maria Menounos is going to be the guest commentator for it.
Because it's on Fox.
And because she's co-hosting the ball drop.
Yeah.
So. Also, spoiler alert: it happened last night, and Roman Reigns wins.
That happened last night? Oh, yeah, they taped it?
Yeah, they taped it last night after SmackDown.
Why?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Why would you?
Because Roman Reigns, because Dolph Ziggler probably has better things to do on New Year's Eve than wrestle Roman Reigns in Times Square.
I mean, probably. You're right. I totally agree with that part. But, like, I don't know. Like, why would you tape it?
But, well, think about this, too. Where are you going to do it? Are you going to do it outside in the middle of Times Square? No, you'd have to have it in an arena. And how many people are going to want to be in an arena to watch Dolph Ziggler versus Roman Reigns?
You have it in an arena. You have it in, like... You have it
in a tent?
If they were smart, they'd have it. They'd have it in the Hammerstein Ball, the place where they had the very first Raw.
Yeah, but now you got to get people in there that are gonna want to go in there while they're partying for New Year's. I don't know about you. I'm a huge wrestling fan, but if I was in Times Square, if I was partying in New York for New Year's Eve, I'm not gonna go watch Dolph Ziggler fight Roman Reigns. It's not even a big match. If it was a big match, yeah, I could see them doing that. But it's Roman Reigns and Dolph Ziggler. Nobody gives two shits.
Yeah, but you got to remember, dude, there's going to be like 3 million people in New York City. That place holds maybe like 200.
Sure.
250.
Sure.
So you tell me you can't get 250 kids to go into that place with their parents or whatever and go freaking watch the match? Yeah, of course you could.
Maybe, but then you also have the issue that Maria Menounos is going to be the guest commentator and she's going to be in Times Square at that time hosting the ball drop event.
Yeah, so you're doing it like... You're doing it like 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night. You're doing it like 12. You're doing it like 6.
It's going to happen probably like 9 or 10, I would guess. I have no idea, but I would guess 9 or 10.
I mean, all they're going to do is just, well, I mean, they're just going to cut to it during their broadcast.
Yeah, they're just going to be like, oh, we got this, you know, Maria Menounos was there for this, and that's all they're going to do.
Yeah, and everyone's going to, and what, are they going to show the full match?
Yeah.
Yeah, the people are just going to turn it off.
Yeah.
It's going to switch to a different channel.
Yeah, but Fox doesn't get it. Have you not realized that by what you've been watching on SmackDown?
Oh, I don't even want... I know Fox. I said that from the beginning, dude. I hated the fact that it went to Fox is the dumbest move they ever did.
SmackDown is worse now than it was before it went on SmackDown, and it was in a downward spiral.
Yeah. Because Fox is dumb. I told it. I said that when I first started. I think it's so stupid to go to Fox.
That was the money. It wasn't. It's not stupid for Vince.
It was all money. I get that part. No, it was all money. I agree with that. But I totally agree that it's all money. But still, like, I knew that we do that from the beginning when it first I got announced it was going to Fox. We were like, no, it's terrible. It's going to get canceled.
Well, I mean, we knew it, so whatever. It's not a surprise. Actually, it might not get canceled because it's their own fault that it sucks.
I suppose. Well, yeah, but Fox, true, but I guess, you know, Fox wants to hold on to it, so they'll do everything they can, but, you know, it's not going to get...
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I don't know how long their contract is for, but they'll cut ties, you know, eventually.
Well, I think it's like a 5-year contract, maybe? They have a 5-year deal?
Yeah, so, yeah, I would be surprised if they're gone from Fox in about 5 years, back on USA or somewhere.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that either. But we'll see.
Eventually, it's not going to make any money. Like, it makes money now, and they got all sponsorships, which is why Fox lets it go. But eventually, it's just going to die out.
Yeah.
And then as a result, they'll just, you know, and it'll end up going back to USA or something. Probably.
You're probably right about that. Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they do something. Maybe they like it. Who knows? I don't know what the hell they're doing over there at Fox. They don't know what they're doing at Fox.
No one knows, dude. They're just all over the place.
Yeah. How about NWA? Have you been following the NWA?
No.
Why?
Other than
why not?
Because they're all... Why not? Because they're all geriatric people.
No way. NWA is the shit.
I don't need to see a bunch of 90-year-olds winning championships.
No, it's not all a bunch of 90-year-olds. No. It's really not. It's Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis is the champ. The national champ is Damian Sandow.
Wow.
Marty Scurll just ended up there. And then this week on Power, the Pope showed up.
Oh, yeah?
NWA is up and coming. And it's free on YouTube. There's no need to not watch it. It's free. If it's free, it's for me. That's what my mom used to say. If it's free, it's for me. Yeah, it's on YouTube. Just go on YouTube. NWA Power. With the extra R's because of how they set it up.
Yeah.
No, but Power's been good. I like it. You know, there's some camp things. There's some things that you kind of like, ah, oh, that's so cheesy. But it's the idea of getting that 80s studio wrestling feel. Like, they even do, like, throwback promos. Like, they're not promos, but vignettes. Their vignettes are very throwback looking. They have commercials that aren't real commercials, that are just their own little, well, maybe the pro wrestling store, whatever the hell it's called, the PWI store, that's a real commercial, but it's all set to look very 80s and studio wrestling. So I like it. It's a good concept. It's cool. It's different. And now they're actually getting some better names there. I agree with you that at first it's just guys you're like, what? But now we've got some decent names there. They're bringing some more guys in. I see growth coming there. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be a good alternative for people who long for those days. Where Impact is the alternative for people who long for the days of the Attitude Era. Speaking of Impact, Hard to Kill coming up next month, the 12th. Oh, and of course we have Ring of Honor, which is for those people who wish for the days of WCW when it was dying.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why you would wish for that. But if you liked WCW when it was at its worst, Ring of Honor just might be topping it right now.
Yeah.
It's fun. I don't know if you've noticed, but the internet wrestling community was all up in arms last week because they brought Lost and Gobnumbrils over to Ring of Honor, and that group consists of Roosh, Dragon Lee, who's now Ryu Lee, and Kenny King, and his valet, Amber Rose, who I don't even know the hell this white girl is. People are pissed. They're like, why Kenny King? He doesn't belong in this. And it seems like he might be the leader of the group, too. So people, the internet wrestling community is up in arms and angry about it. I love it when the internet wrestling community gets up in arms and angry over things. So this has just had me giddy. I'm just saying, maybe I'm a dick, but that's just me. But anyway, that's what's going on with that. Ring of Honor still sucks. They put the world title on PCO. I don't know why. He's like, you're talking about NWA. Jesus Christ, they gave the title to PCO.
I know.
He's like 87.
I know, it's kind of ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Kind of? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they do it just to get some recognition.
For what? What are you getting recognized for? Giving the title to PCO? Get the hell out of here. You're not getting good recognition for that.
Yeah, but some recognition is better than no recognition at all.
I guess, but you can just keep the title on Roosh and be better off. Or put the title on anybody else that's not PCO. You wouldn't give the title to Marty Scurll, but you give it to PCO.
Yeah, I don't know.
That guy doesn't know what he's doing anyway. Greg, the guy that runs things over there, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's a complete shit show mess. He is.
Does anyone really know what they're doing right now?
Maybe not. You might be right. I don't know. NWA seems to know what they're doing. They kind of have a good...
Everyone just seems to have problems with, everything going on. You can find flaws in everyone's stuff right now.
Absolutely. I mean, you want to talk flaws, we can get into Impact and talk about all the vignettes with the Rascals.
Yeah.
They were cool at first. The first couple times, they were funny. They were cool. That 70s shows look. But now, it's just bad. Like, it's not good at all. It's just bad. Like, they're very bad vignettes. They act like they're, little kids and bringing his mom in which I don't even know if that's really his mom. If it is, I would bang this dude's mom. I don't even know. Trey? Is it Trey? I think it's Trey's mom from the Rascals. She could get it if that's his real mom.
Probably not.
You never know with wrestling. Someone could have just been like, wow, your mom's hot. She could get it. We're going to do a storyline around her getting it.
Yeah.
Do you know the storyline that's going on with that?
No.
Because I'm sure you haven't been watching Impact. Well, the storyline is that they, Ace Austin found out that Trey's mom is hot and he wants to bang her.
Yeah. Because
that's his whole thing. Ace Austin 316. I just banged your wife.
No.
Which is actually kind of funny. I can't wait till they get enough infamy that WWE gives him a cease and desist for it.
Yeah, I hope that's not really what he's saying, is it?
Oh, yeah, he has a t-shirt that says, Ace Austin 316, I just banged your wife.
That's terrible.
That's awesome.
The shirt's fine, but I'm just saying, like, where's Stone Cold? You tell me you don't have to get on the right track?
I think it's great. His gimmick went from he was trying to bang Eddie Edwards' wife, Ashley. And now he's moved on to now he's trying to bang Trey's mom.
Yeah. And it really is his mom. Maybe it really is his mom,
It could be, which would make it even better.
Yeah.
Ace Austin 316 says, I just banged your wife. Look it up. Buy that shirt. I think it's great. I want to buy one. I would buy an Ace Austin 316 shirt all day. Because it would just be funny. I'm just saying. But
it would be fine.
So we got Hard to Kill coming up next month from AEW. That's coming up on the 12th. Then we've got Ring of Honor's got a show coming up, but they're a dead brand, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Worlds Collide. So instead of Royal Rumble having NXT before it this month, it's going to be Worlds Collide. NXT versus NXT UK.
Which is good, but I don't know. Well, they changed the Rumble this year anyway, so.
What do you mean?
Well, now it's going to, all three brands are involved in the Rumble.
Oh, really? See, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it's 10 from each brand are in the Rumble, so 10 Raw, 10 SmackDown, 10 NXT. On each one, each the men and the women.
Oh.
And whoever wins gets the title for their, you know, brand, whatever.
The title shot, not the title. You don't just get the belt.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Which is, it's good, but...
No, I but mean, it's good. I like it. Let it be.
Well, it's good. The problem is, unless they're playing... See, the issue is that whoever wins the Royal Rumble is supposed to headline WrestleMania, right? What, that was the whole idea.
Yeah, so NXT isn't going to win. I know. So you know that NXT isn't going to win.
Right, which kind of defeats hope. It's like, all right, well, then NXT can't win.
Why couldn't they have NXT win? They're probably going to include NXT at Mania this year.
They probably will, unless they decide to have their own, like, NXT Mania thing.
Which they probably will do.
Which is what they usually do, right. So, I don't know. Rumor is it that right now the leading person is Roman Reigns to win it. So he can face the Fiend at WrestleMania.
I hope not. Please don't ruin the Fiend by making him lose to fucking Roman Reigns after you thought that you could just put him into the back burner for a year and then throw him back at us at Mania.
Well, I think that was the plan all along, was to eventually have him lose to Roman Reigns.
No. Why?
Why? Because he's their top guy. You know?
No, he's not. You know who the top babyface is in WWE right now?
Huh?
Do you know who the top babyface in WWE is right now?
It's Roman Reigns.
No.
And Daniel Bryan.
No.
It is.
No, it's not.
Dude, it's Roman Reigns. Is always going to be the top face.
Nope.
In WWE.
Nope. Maybe that's what they think, but that's not who the top face in that company is right now. The top face in the WWE. The top face in the WWE right now is Bray fucking Wyatt. They got a baby face on their hands, and he's the top baby face in the company.
But they don't know. They don't know what to do with him, so they can't figure out how to book him. So
listen to my podcast. If they listen to our podcast, they'll realize it. If all of a sudden if Bray Wyatt is a baby face next Friday, then we know Vince tuned in. I'm convinced he does. I'm convinced on the low, him or Triple H is listening to us.
They don't book him that way, though.
Of course not.
Because they don't know what to do with him.
They don't know what to do with him. They're going to fuck him all up. Because that's what they do.
They don't know how to book him. They really just don't know how to book him in matches. It's not so much that they don't know how to book him in general. Because I think Bray does a pretty good job doing that himself. He can get his stories over, but when his matches happen, though, they cannot figure out I don't know what it is.
Well, I like the idea of using Bray sometimes and The Fiend other times. I think that's a good idea. I think they got that right.
Yeah.
I think that you need to book The Fiend more like Kane than the original Undertaker. Because they're booking him right now like the original Undertaker, where nothing would stop him and he'd just like get back up from everything. Maybe book him like later Undertaker, when Undertaker could get beat a little bit, you know what I mean? After he had his run and won a world title, and then they kind of like, he was beatable. He didn't lose a Mania, but he was still beatable. I think you book him like that, where he can be beat, but he doesn't get beat all the time. Or more like Kane, where, yeah, he's a monster, and it's hard to beat him, but you know he can lose. Right now, they make it so it seems like he doesn't lose, and they're wondering why people aren't buying tickets to see him in a house show. Because you already know what's going to happen. He's not going to lose. He's unbeatable.
Oh, which is fine. I'd rather that, though. I'd rather him not lose.
No, because then what do you do?
Right now, I don't want him to be beatable.
You put yourself into a corner where you get stuck, and then you have to change course at one point, and you end up pulling some dumb shit like WCW does, and you cattle prod Goldberg to give him his first loss. Because you've already created someone who can't be beat, and it's not believable that he's going to drop the title. So you can't have him seem completely unbeatable like they're booking him right now. As much as I get what you're saying, yeah, it'd be great to have him be this like monster and just run through everybody. But I think that hurts a lot. But let's just take a quick break. We're going to come back. We already went really long in this open. It's like a 25-minute open. We're going to take a quick break. Run a commercial, then we're going to come back, and it's going to be the Super Kick Party, and we're going to do the Smarkies. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
We'll be right back. This is Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks. Super Kick Party! And we are back. I'm still Sean Puff. This is still Mike K. This is still Smart Spot Monkeys and Super Kicks. And it's time for the Super Kick Party. Tonight at the party, we are going to have the second annual Smarky Awards.
Yeah.
Man, I love the Smarkies. So the funny thing is, when I was putting up the Smarkies this year, I was pondering sending out, like posting on Twitter and posting to our Facebook page and sending out to like the groups that I'm involved in to get people's opinions and let other people vote for the winners of the Smarkies. Then I thought about it and I said, fuck that. We're the Smarks. This is my show. This is our show. So we're going to pick the Smarkies. And if you guys don't like it, too fucking bad.
Yeah, not to mention I'll pick a bunch of Japanese wrestlers anyway.
Oh, man. So here's what I did. I went and I found all the categories that we did last year, and I think we did all those categories plus maybe a couple more. So we can just get right into this, and we're going to start out with, in case you guys don't know, so what the Smarkies are, it's our version of like the Slammy Awards. We just kind of pick out who we think fits in each of these categories. We have 17 different categories, 18 because we did Wrestler of the Decade, which we'll end the show with. The nominees and the winners were voted on by me and Mike, and that's kind of how it goes. If you get a Smarky, it's because we decided that you get a Smarky. So without further ado, we're going to get this going, and we're going to bring up our first, we're going to start with our first Smarky this year, the match of the year. So, you know, we had a whole discussion about this, and just so you guys know, we had a discussion about all of these. Most of these we kind of just agreed on, but some of them we had to have a discussion about. So we'll go back and forth and just call out who our picks were. I think we both agreed on this one for match of the year. Match of the year, our first Smarky, goes to Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole at NXT TakeOver, their 2 out of 3 fall match. That match was amazing. NXT TakeOver is just always good. So, I mean, it's kind of how that goes. You kind of expect that. Our first Smarky winner of the evening. Congratulations, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, for the first Smarky. Next up, and here's one that you and I didn't agree on. Markout moment of the year. Yeah, and this was kind of one that we didn't really have much to go on because there wasn't really anything this year that really stood out that was just like, oh my God. There was no oh my God moment really. So because we couldn't come up with a solid here's what it is, and then watching how the end of the year unfolded, my markout moment of the year goes to Marty Scurll debuting at NWA Into the Fire. The internet went wild over it. Everybody thought he was going to AEW. There was talk that maybe he was going to do NXT instead. And then he shows up at NWA Into the Fire. Who's the guy that you watch his video podcast? The, like, British guy.
You know, the WrestleTalk?
Yeah, the WrestleTalk. That guy marked out more than anyone. I watched his video of him when Marty Scurll showed up. He alone made me give this markout moment of the year. Just watching his reaction. So, markout moment of the year, Marty Scurll shows up at NWA Into the Fire. Best pay-per-view of the year. This was one we both said we had to think about a lot. I don't know if you put a lot of thought into this one, but I put a lot of thought into it and try to figure out which pay-per-view was actually the best one of the year. My nomination for best pay-per-view of the year was TakeOver War Games.
Yeah, I thought it was going the same thing.
With a runner-up probably being TakeOver New York.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with both of them. I was definitely thinking of a TakeOver event itself. So, War Games, I would probably agree with you. That was a really good pay-per-view.
Yep.
We really can't go wrong with NXT. I don't think they really give out many bad pay-per-views.
Yeah, I don't expect I don't see any time in the very near future that we're going to be giving that pay-per-view of the year out to anybody, anything that's not a TakeOver.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just kind of how it goes.
Yeah. Sorry, they're just too good right now.
Yeah. Next up, botch of the year. This went out to the biggest botch. This was another one that we had like a lot of discussion about as far as what it was. I was wrong at first from what I thought. And then we had to like dig into it and you're like, no, that was last year. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Botch of the year this year we gave to Sean Spears' chair shot on Cody Rhodes. At all out.
Yeah, it has to be that. I mean, that was just like, he flat out just screwed up. And I, you know,
for anything
you
read about, that was definitely not. It was a fixed chair so that something like that wouldn't happen. That to me makes it botch of the year. You did something to the chair so that wouldn't happen. And because of what you did to the chair, that happened.
Right.
That, like, hands down, there's no bigger botch than you trying to make sure that you don't botch, and because of you attempting to make sure you don't botch, botching worse.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if they didn't do that to the chair and clip the chair like they did, it wouldn't have caused as much damage as it did to him.
Probably not.
Hands down, botch of the year. It's not even a question.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Good job, Cody Rhodes, on your first Smarky.
Yeah.
And then, Spot Monkey of the year.
It's the freaking Young Bucks.
Always. Always
the Young Bucks.
Always the Young Bucks. Jeez. Like, going back a couple weeks, they had that match on Power. I mean, not on Power, on Dynamite, where they fought Proud and Powerful.
Yeah.
The team formerly known as LAX, which, by the way, Proud and Powerful sounds like a LGBT film on the Hallmark Channel. Just saying.
It really does. They should just be. They should just call themselves XLAX. That's all they have to call themselves.
That'd be cool. XLAX.
Yeah. XLAX. Yeah. XLAX.
XLAX. I heard that they're not that on the this episode of Dark. They didn't go by Proud and Powerful though. So I don't know. Maybe they. Maybe someone realized it's a dumb name.
Just call them Santana Ortiz. They don't have to call them. They don't have to have a name.
Just call them the Inner Circle because they're part of the Inner Circle. They can just be the name.
Yeah, on that.
You know?
Exactly.
But they had that match on Dynamite a few weeks ago against them. And it was horrible because there was a spot in it. And even Vince Russo tweeted on it. I don't know if you watched Dynamite, if you've been keeping up on it, or if you saw the spot. Ortiz was on the ground. And he was like... And he kind of like comes up onto his arms. So his arms are holding him up. And one of the Bucks takes a chair and holds it against his head. And Ortiz leans his head for like 7 seconds against the chair to set up so that the other Buck could go back to the corner, taunt, and then super kick the chair into his head.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that one.
Now, I understand that you're supposed to suspend your ability of disbelief to watch wrestling.
Right.
But how the hell am I going to suspend my ability for disbelief there? Why would you hold your head against the chair for 7 seconds? Like, nobody would do that. Nobody ever. I hate that. That's what I hate about the Bucks. All their shit, they have these great spots, but they set them up too long. It takes so long to set up the spot, and then you got to taunt and do all this. No, take the chair, put it against them, quick kick to the head. That's it. Don't take 7 seconds. Don't taunt to the crowd. Don't show off. Don't showboat. Just do the move, and it looks believable. When you do it, it looks fucking stupid.
Right. I agree with you. There was one a while back. I don't know. I don't remember what. It was probably one of the earlier Dynamites where they fought the Lucha Bros. And one of the Bucks had... I think it was Ray Phoenix in a tombstone position outside on the floor and literally held him there while the other one ran in the ring, got beat up. He was just standing there waiting.
Oh, I saw that. He like ran around the ring, did a thing, climbed up on the ropes, jumped off the top, and did a flip down onto him to break it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole time, Matt is just sitting there holding him waiting. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's not believable. It's not believable. Right. Why are you standing around waiting? They do that all the time. Young Buck matches always have a lot of standing around waiting for a spot. And that's why you're Spot Monkey of the Year. That's why you'll always be Spot Monkey of the Year. Because it's not... it's horrible. I'm just so... I'm sick of it.
I agree. Yeah, I hate the Bucks. I never liked the Bucks. I think they're so overrated.
A lot of people do. A lot of people do. So, how about this one? Worst pay-per-view of the year. We did best pay-per-view of the year. Now worst pay-per-view of the year.
Why did we skip that one? No, I missed that one. I guess, huh?
No. It's just how it's written down on my piece of paper.
Okay. Worst pay-per-view had to be Hell in a Cell.
No.
Recently.
No.
No?
That's a second. There's your runner-up. Hell in a Cell. The worst pay-per-view of the year was Crown Jewel, where Goldberg fought Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't really count.
Whole pay-per-view was garbage. The entire thing.
They're always garbage, though. I never count those ones. That's why.
But it's a real pay-per-view. It really happened.
I don't consider them real pay-per-views because they don't do anything with story at all. They just, they're just showcases.
Well, it still is, though. I mean, they did some story with it. They did the whole Braun Strowman and big stupid Russian guy that's the boxing champion.
Yeah, but that was a showcase. That wasn't like, because once they got to SmackDown, they were like, hey, thanks for the match. All right, see ya. And then that was it.
I guess. It
didn't continue anything. It was over after that.
I guess. It was all done.
They have one small one that they did. They had like with Shane won, like, was the when he won the Best in the World tournament.
Yeah.
Carried that out, but that was like the only thing they usually have that carries out of Saudi Arabia. It's usually just showcased for the prince and his money.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia's horrible. It will probably always get worst pay-per-view of the year.
So, yeah,
it's a shoe-in, just like the Bucks.
Yeah. But I know, I never really considered them a pay-per-view, so that's why I didn't count it, but I'll go with it this time.
Worst gimmick of the year. Not to be confused with worst storyline of the year. Worst gimmick of the year.
Worst gimmick of the year? I remember. Did I say Baron Corbin?
Let's skip that. We're going to come back to that. Worst storyline of the year, because we know what that is.
Well, actually, I might change my mind. I don't know, because I think we said the cuckold one, right?
Seth Cuck, all day long.
Yeah, but I would actually argue that this whole Baron Corbin and Roman Reigns and the dog food crap, like, that actually might be worse.
I think it's a close second place.
Yeah, but you're right. The cuckold stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah,
Maria Kanellis baby thing.
And I feel like they lost out on that one, so that's why they decided to go with Rusev Cuck.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, you know what we did for worst gimmick?
What?
The librarians.
Oh yeah, the librarians.
The librarians worst gimmick. That it's pretty bad. I completely forgot about it. That's how fucking bad it is.
Yeah, that's right. The librarian.
AEW cleaning up on some awards here on the Smarkies.
Oh, yeah.
They're, like, cleaning up on all the worst awards. But this one, don't worry. We're going to bring it back. Worst entrance of the year. We gave that one to Breezango.
Yeah, because I missed their old ones.
Who, for a moment, it looked like they were going to come back and be strong and be a serious team again. And then they started dressing up as doctors.
Yeah, it's stupid. They come out different, like, dress up all the time. It's like, man, go back to where you were.
Like, I really thought Tyler Breeze made his comeback and then Johnny Curtis came back.
Yeah.
I really thought we were going to see a new Fandango that wasn't this joke of a team and was going to be a serious team.
Yeah.
I even made them a serious team in 2K19. And all for naught. Because they just...
Yeah.
Now they're dressed as doctors and construction workers and something different every week.
People just don't like them. The music's not good anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad. Their entrance is just bad.
Yeah. It should be good, but not anymore.
Runners up, I always go with Johnny Gargano. His music's the worst. We're going to skip those and come back to those right there. Let's see what we got here. Rivalry of the year.
It's got to be... did we do this one? I remember talking about this one.
Yeah, we did. Rivalry of the year was Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole.
Ciampa. Oh, Adam Cole? Because Ciampa and Gargano was more last year.
And then I think the other feud that we had as the runner-up would have been Seth Rollins and The Fiend.
Yeah.
There weren't that many incredible rivalries this year. AEW, not really. I mean, Omega and Moxley, but I don't really give a fuck about that.
The
Inner Circle hasn't really gotten to a crescendo.
They don't really not doing anything with that either.
I read yesterday that the reason Jack Hager isn't wrestling is he has a match scheduled in October. He has an MMA fight scheduled. And when he signed his contract, he's still under contract with Bellator or whatever the hell he's fighting. And the agreement was that he wouldn't have a wrestling match until after his MMA fight in October. So we're not going to get to see Jack Hagar actually in a wrestling ring if, you know, it's rumored innuendo. If this is true, it won't be until the end of October that we will finally
That's
see
terrible.
Him in a ring. But they don't want him to get hurt because they're going to push.
I get that part. I understand they don't want him to get hurt. I totally get that part. But then why even have him around?
Well, he plays a part.
You can get hurt doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. True story. But they're not going to tell you, don't ride your bike. You might get hurt. I mean, if you really watch, he doesn't get very physical at all.
You made a big you made a big deal about him signing with the company and then turn around and
can't use him.
Don't even use him.
Yeah. Stupid things AEW does. We could do a whole episode on stupid things AEW does. Yeah. We could do an episode on each brand.
You really could.
We could do a whole podcast that was just based on stupid things, and every week we could just talk about different stupid things that have happened.
Yeah.
Oh, just that week.
Yep.
It's going to be my next podcast idea. Stupid things.
There you go.
So Rivalry at Gargano Cole, congratulations on your second Smarky there.
Woohoo.
We already did worst storyline of the year. Worst male of the year. I think this one was easy. It's funny because there are a lot of people that were horrible this year. Seth Rollins being very near the top of that list.
Yeah.
But luckily for him, there was one ACH, otherwise known in NXT as Jordan Miles, who wanted to just try to play the race card like crazy and call everyone racist, including Jay Lethal. He didn't call him a racist. He called him an Uncle Tom. And he just whined and cried and bitched and moaned about everything, even though things were proven to not be exactly what he said it was. The guy is horrible. He left WWE. He signed with MLW and then got mad because of fans on the internet trolling him. So he quit wrestling. So last I heard, he canceled all his bookings and ACH is no longer in wrestling. Goodbye and good riddance.
Yeah, bye.
But that was hands down worst male or fuckboy of the year. The fuckboy of the year award, as I like to call it.
There you go.
I don't think we agreed on this next one. The thought of the year. Or worst female. The worst female of the year. The thought of the year.
Oh, worst female. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to have to go back here and look and see. Let's see what we got here. Mike, let's go to search.
Now I'm trying to think about it. For me, probably the worst female of the year is probably Brandi Rhodes.
Really?
She doesn't do anything. What the hell does she do?
She's a manager.
And she's terrible.
Oh.
She's terrible on the mic.
How did we not figure the ring. How did we not remember this? Time out. We already said who this was. Nyla Rose.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're like, oh, I forgot about her. Because she's not a girl. She's really a boy. Yeah. Nyla Rose, thought of the year. The worst female of the year, because you're not even really a girl. You know what really gets me about her and why I'm going to go on a rant here. You know what really grinds my gears about Nyla Rose and why I really don't like her? You know that she's married?
No,
She's married.
Congratulations.
To a woman.
Okay. Yeah.
So she was a boy, and she had a sex change to become a girl, and then decides that he's a lesbian.
Okay.
And marries a girl. So you weren't really a girl because you like girls. So you were really a boy. That's what I get from. What I get from that is Nyla Rose wasn't good enough at any sport to excel. So Niles, I'm guessing his real name is Niles, decides to change his name to Nyla and become a female so that he can have an advantage because he can't hack it with the boys. That's my take on Nyla Rose. And nobody can't convince me otherwise because of that situation. If Nyla Rose was married to a male, I wouldn't be so harsh about it. But this motherfucker married a woman after having a sex change to be a woman. You didn't feel like you were in a wrong body. You just couldn't hack it as a man. So you became a woman. Therefore, you are de facto thought of the year. Congratulations on finally winning something.
There you go. Woo-hoo.
People are going to be mad at that. If we were really popular, I'd get some hate tweets about that. But we're not popular enough for me to get hate tweets. I'd love it if I just got hate tweets next week because I said that. You know what my last hate tweet was?
No.
She's a killer queen. Madison Rain.
Madison Rain.
Yeah, that was my last hate tweet that I got. She told me that she called me a loser or some shit. Because I said, what's your name? The Japanese girl that won the title? Was that Maya Iwatani? Was that the girl that won the title there? No.
I think so.
No. Sumi something, or Sumi Sumai, or whatever that girl, whoever she was, the one that won the Women of Honor title. I said that she looked like she was an 80-year-old because she had horrible posture, and she didn't look believable to be a women's champion. And yeah. Madison Rain retweeted me and talked shit about me, and then deleted the retweet because she said that I wasn't deserving of getting the extra attention that I was seeking.
Okay.
I still didn't give her thought of the year. It still goes to Nyla Rose. Oh, man. So we got worst male, we got worst female. Wow, we're almost through all of these already. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Did you say good? Let's see. What do we got going on? What do we still got left to go? We've got promotion of the year. Before we say the promotion of the year, I want to say my runner-up of the year, which I think was kind of a tie. Actually, it was close for a few. I think NWA is an honorable mention. Give them a year or two, they're going to be up in the running for that.
Okay.
But my closest runner-up wasn't AEW, but it was Impact. I think Impact had an incredible year. I think they did a lot of turning around and a lot of growth. They started it the year before, but really picked it up this year, getting themselves back on a regular television channel that people actually have and can be seen on. They've just done a great turnaround, so I think they were definitely the runner-up for promotion of the year. With promotion of the year going, of course, to, I'll let you say who promotion of the year is.
It's NXT.
Of course it's NXT. NXT just doing big things, coming up from being like the developmental brand to now just like being the brand. That's how I look at them. Like, right. They're not any less than any of the other brands.
That's right.
You might even argue that they're better than either of the other two so-called main rosters.
I would agree with that.
Fact. So big ups to NXT. They probably won last year. I don't even know who won last year, but I think it was probably NXT. That would be my guess.
Probably.
Worst promotion of the... Actually, I don't think we had promotion or worst promotion last year. I think these were new added. So that was promotion of the year. Worst promotion of the year.
That's easy too.
And I don't think it was close. I don't think there was any company. The funny thing is WWE had a very bad year and disappointed a lot of people, but they weren't even close to on the level of bad as the brand that won worst brand of the year. Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
They're a dead brand.
Yeah.
It's a dead brand. Ring of Honor is horrible. They just put the world title on PCO. Before that, they had it on... I don't even know who their champions have been. They've just had Rush, that guy Rush from Mexico,
Rush,
who doesn't know how to pronounce the letter U. He says his name Rush, but he spells it Rush. That guy Rush. He was a champ before. Ugh, people love him. The internet, the IWC, because they love anything that's not. They're like Meltzer. They love anything that doesn't happen in America.
Yeah,
like Meltzer loves Japan. IWC marks like anything anywhere else. So Rush does a lot in Mexico, so they love him. I think he's like a great value version of Samoa Joe.
Okay.
If you look at a picture of him, he looks like Samoa Joe with long hair.
All right, I give you that, yeah.
He does. I'm telling you. Look at it. Look at the two of them next to each other. You'll be like, holy shit. If Samoa Joe had a wig, he'd be Rush.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he doesn't talk much, because everyone realizes it's really Samoa Joe under a wig.
Kamala Rush.
Yeah, Ring of Honor needs to just go away. That's the only thing that I can agree with ACH on, that Ring of Honor sucks.
Yeah.
But it's a dead brand. It'll be gone soon. Don't worry. It'll die off. They've just done so many bad things, including their little snub of my homegirl, Kelly Klein. She doesn't follow me on Twitter anymore. I think it's because I troll people.
No, probably.
Maybe. Still my homegirl, though. I hope she gets a job somewhere good that takes care of her and cares about her and gives her what she deserves. She's going to end up in AEW because that's where her husband is.
Yeah.
Two left. We're almost done with all this. No, three left. First up, Tag Team of the Year.
Oh, Tag Team of the Year.
There weren't a lot of really great tag teams. There are a couple that stick out in my mind. The War Raiders being one of the top teams sticking out in my mind is teams that had a great 2019.
Yeah.
I might even say the OC as they turned around their year and had a great second half of the year. So they're a good runner-up for that. But at the end of the day, when you really look at everybody's complete body of work and what they did around the league, the tag team of the year, Mike, the Smarky goes to...
I don't know.
The Lucha Brothers.
Oh.
You were the one that really? Said the Lucha Brothers first. And I was like, oh, yeah, I agree with it. I said, I don't know about Tag Team of the Year. And you said the Lucha Brothers. I said, ah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I suppose it's true.
Stop smoking weed.
I was rethinking it. I'm like, oh, maybe not. But no, yeah, it's true. They are.
Who else were you thinking? Other than the two teams that I just said.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is the Lucha Bros. Yeah, sorry. I mean, the Lucha Bros, they're excited. Although,
It's because they kind of have all the stuff going on still. They're still, like, doing Mexican shows.
It might be because it was running down the end of the year and stuff like that, too. So, they seem like they're kind of just...
floundering at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what's happening with AEW. This is why AEW wasn't even in my runner-up for brand of the year, because... they have some great concepts and great ideas, but a lot of it just isn't working how it was supposed to work.
Yeah. Oh, gee, I wonder who saw that coming.
Like, records are going to count. But then they really don't when you really look at it.
Of course they don't.
Look at who gets title shots. Too. You're like, how did that guy get title shots if records count?
They also are going to reset them.
Every year.
Starting January 1st.
But they'll still have all-time records. So I don't know what that difference is. I don't know.
It just means it'd be... Huh?
I don't know what it means or why it even matters. So is there a difference in the weight of your all-time record compared to your annual record? Like if you have a great all-time record, but you have a bad record this year, does that give you more of a chance of getting a title shot than someone who had a bad overall record and a decent this year?
Yeah, you got to think of it like the NFL, right? The Patriots,
so last year's record
doesn't
count at all.
Yeah, basically, right.
So what's the point in keeping all-time records if it's not going to matter? That's what I'm saying. I think if they're keeping all-time records too, it's going to have some weigh-in on something. It's just making the whole thing more convoluted and confusing.
It's true. Yeah, I agree with you.
That's all they're doing.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I said this on the podcast. When they first started, I told people that it was a dumb idea, that it wasn't going to work, that talked to me about AEW and they came out all strong and was like, oh, look how great AEW was, blah, 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 they're beating NXT. I was like, yeah, talk to me in like a month. Talk to me in like a couple months when they get going and let's see where we are. And sure enough, here we are like months later and they're just
they've lost half of their viewers.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's part of it. They just do a lot of things that don't make sense. One is they are still using Being the Elite to advance storylines. So if you're not into Being the Elite, you're missing out on storylines and shit doesn't make sense to you. So when you tune in and you watch, you're like, oh, why is this happening? Oh, this doesn't make sense. Oh, there's a storyline behind it that I didn't see somewhere. Oh, whatever, I don't care. And you tune out.
Right.
You turn back over to NXT because you know what's going on over there because they're not using some stupid-ass YouTube show that nobody fucking watches.
Right, exactly.
Shooting themselves in their foot.
Yeah.
You know the difference? Really, you know what the difference is between AEW and Theo Epstein?
No.
Theo Epstein didn't hang himself.
Not Theo Epstein.
Huh?
Not Theo Epstein.
Not Theo Epstein. No, not him.
Yeah.
Oh, botch of the year, my joke just now.
So I didn't know what you're talking about. Like, dude, Theo Epstein, like the guy who runs the Cubs, who used to run the Red Sox.
Well, he didn't kill himself either. He didn't hang himself either. It still works. It's still true. It's just not as funny.
Yeah. But you're like, your joke kind of missed the mark.
Oh, that was like Sean Spears' chair shot. Oh man. That's a t-shirt. Theo Epstein didn't hang himself.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, we gotta call Mike Rossi and tell him I get an order for t-shirts. So we need one that says I do heel shit, because I do heel shit.
Yeah.
We need one that says don't eat the pancakes.
Yeah.
And now we need one that says Theo Epstein didn't kill himself. Oh, we're gonna have a store, don't worry. Pro Wrestling Tees, we will have a store soon enough.
Yeah, no kidding. Jesus.
Yeah, we've got some great ones already.
Yeah.
Theo Epstein didn't hang himself. Whatever, I do heel shit. anyway, female superstar of the year is next up.
That's the easy one.
Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah, Tessa Blanchard.
She's just the best women's wrestler in the business right now.
Right.
It's a shame, because at the beginning of the year, Becky Lynch could have been in the run for this, but she just got so fucking annoying. Like, the man gimmick just has been drawn out way too long, and she's just, it's been destroyed by bad creative.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising.
It's not. They should make a faction called Bad Creative.
Seriously.
I'm going to create a faction in 2K19, and it's going to be called Bad Creative.
Bad Creative, right.
It'll have Bobby Lashley and Rusev. It'll have Baron Corbin, Shorty G. Who else can be thrown in there? Bad creative.
Pretty much anybody.
Like 90% of the WWE roster could be called Bad Creative.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's gonna be my faction. Bad creative. But Tessa Blanchard. Yeah, I mean, look, she's going in. Isn't she fighting at Hard to Kill for the Impact Championship against Sami Callihan?
Yeah. I think they'll finally give her the belt.
So she, not only is she going out, ending the year on a solid note, after she started it on a solid note last year, she might top her year this year, next year, by becoming the Impact Champion in, like, 2.5 weeks at Hard to Kill.
They pretty much have to, because they've had matches between the two already, and that Sami Callihan has beaten her, like, a bunch of times. So it's like, all right, like, you have to kind of give her the belt now.
True.
Because if you're just going to have Sami Callihan be there again, well, then what's the point of having the match? At this point, what's the point of keep having the matches?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they've fought at least twice, if not three times, I think, this year alone.
Yep. Oh, I found what I wrote again for Bad Creative. Rusev, Lashley, Mike Kanellis, Aleister Black, Baron Corbin, Becky Lynch, Braun Strowman, managed by Kevin Dunn.
There you go.
That's Bad Creative.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I cut you off, though. You're talking about Tessa Blanchard and Becky Lynch, and I don't know. I don't think anybody could have had the year, could have topped the year that Tessa had. Like I said, I think she could top it next year. Let's see if they give her this Impact Championship and let her run with it, and how long they let her run with it.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have the best year of any woman wrestler in the history of wrestling. Like, she could be, she's like at that threshold right now. That could be what we're about to see for Tessa Blanchard, and I'd love it. I mean, she's awesome. She is awesome. I mean, wouldn't be my first choice of women to sleep with, but I also don't know that I'd kick her out of my room.
She wouldn't be my first choice to sleep with, no.
No, but I mean, what if I had her and Charlotte Flair in my bedroom?
I'd kick Charlotte Flair out.
Yeah, Charlotte, go with your crooked titties.
Yeah. You're a million pounds of freaking plastic surgery on your face.
Bad plastic surgery too. It's not even good plastic surgery. That's the problem.
Oh,
fix your shit. Next up is male superstar of the year. I think this was easy. I think this is a slam dunk. This guy is the most over guy in wrestling right now. And no, I'm not talking about with the internet wrestling community who sucks Moxley's cock, even though he's not that good. This guy is probably the most over person, the most over gimmick. We didn't even have the name gimmick of the year, because he would have got gimmick of the year too. We didn't have to name storyline of the year, because he would have got storyline of the year too. You can just wrap that all up into this male superstar of the year award. So for the 2019 male superstar of the year, let me tell you this, it's not Will Ospreay. I know a lot of people like Will Ospreay. It's not Okada. It's not Seth Rollins. It's not Sami Callihan.
What? It's not Seth Rollins?
It's not Seth Rollins. It's the Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt, and The Fiend. The Fiend is your male wrestler of the year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hands down. There was no, like, nobody. We didn't have to discuss this. There wasn't even a need for discussion. It was just like, yeah, Bray Wyatt, right? Yeah.
And, you know, kudos to Bray Wyatt, who's been, like, carrying his gimmick as much as the WWE wants to, like, just destroy it because freaking they don't know what they're doing.
Well, because they didn't create it either. Vince destroys anything he doesn't create. That's why Bray,
yeah,
this guy has been brilliant ever since he's been here, and he hasn't got the push that he's deserved because it wasn't created, because bad creative.
Yeah.
Bad creative. That's why Bray has floundered and he's where he is now. But it's good that he's here. I love The Fiend. Like I said, we discussed earlier in the show things they could do to fix it, because they are not doing it 100% right. But he's still the most over guy in the business right now, the most over gimmick character in the business. So it's good to see. I'm happy for him. I like to see Bray getting his just due. The guy always had the talent and had the ability to be where he is now. They just never could capitalize on it in the past, with any iteration of Bray Wyatt, with anything they did with him.
I'm glad they split up the, like, I'm glad they kind of, like, had him almost kind of wrestle, like, as a two different people, you know?
Yeah.
As The Fiend and Bray Wyatt, which was kind of nice. I was happy they went that way. I don't know whose decision that was, but that was pretty good. Even though I didn't really care for how they did it, but it was fine.
No, I liked how they did it, because Miz wasn't in a spot to be fighting for the WWE Championship.
No, that part was fine. I had no problem with that part. It was the fact that I would have had Bray Wyatt face The Miz and The Fiend face Daniel Bryan on the same pay-per-view.
I guess you could do that.
Like, to have it to kind of have it split, you know, just kind of split. I would have had the Mr. Rogers Bray Wyatt version
lose.
Be kind of like this. Yeah, I would have him lose and have, be this, like, lovable, like, guy that people just would love and don't want to see get beat up, and have him lose. And then have the Miz, like, claim that he should have a title shot, and they could turn around and say, well, no, The Fiend is the champ, not Bray Wyatt. And they're like, what do you mean he's the same person? And they could have played around with that whole thing.
I guess they could have done that, but I mean, that's been done already. And granted, yes, everything in wrestling has been done already. But that's been done already, and recently, in the last decade, that was Joseph Parks and Abyss.
That don't count. Of course it counts. That's Impact.
It still counts. It happened. It's not like it happened. It's not like it was GCW.
That doesn't count. That was stupid.
It's not like they act like, this happened at GCW Jimmy All the Way last night.
Because Abyss wasn't, like, the champion, and he wasn't even, like, booked. I mean, he had been around for a while, so he wasn't even booked as, like, a monster anymore. He was just a guy.
No, he disappeared. They didn't know where he went. He got beat in a Monsters Ball match, and he disappeared, and they were trying to find him. And Joseph Pox came looking for his brother Abyss.
That was when Impact was dumb.
Yeah, it was when Impact was dumb. You're correct.
Yeah. I mean, they could have done a better job with it, but whatever. That's all. I mean, I still think they still don't really book his matches completely. They don't book The Fiend's matches completely right.
Oh, I agree. They don't, and they need to fix that, but whatever. Best thing going in the business right now, hands down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're going into the new decade. So this is the end of an era, an end of a decade. So I figured, why not go with Superstar of the Decade?
Superstar of the Decade, huh?
We had this discussion. Do you not remember this whole discussion? You said somebody, and I said no when I gave my reasons for who I said it is, and you're like, oh, yeah, I agree with you now. The Superstar of the Decade has been, we looked around at a lot of guys. I looked at a lot of guys and what they did over the past 10 years and where they've been. And there are a lot of guys that had good decades. Finn Balor, Okada, Seth Rollins. You could probably come up with a few more if you really stopped to think about it. But I think, hands down, Jeff Jarrett was another guy on that list that had a good last 10 years. Hands down, the wrestler of the past decade to me is a man who started the decade out in TNA before it was even Impact.
Oh, yeah.
He was wrestling in a group that was managed by Ric Flair that went by the name of fortune. This guy went on to win his second Impact Championship before leaving Impact and going all across the Indies. He had a stint in New Japan where he became the leader of the Bullet Club and won the New Japan title. And then before he ended up back in America, he was down in Mexico. He won a couple titles down in Mexico. He held the NWA World Championship for a little while. That prestigious 10 pounds of gold. And eventually, he made his way to the WWE. He debuted at the Royal Rumble and went on to become a multi-time WWE champion. That man, the winner of the Smarky for Wrestler of the Decade, none other than...
Ronda Rousey.
No. AJ Styles. Styles just had an amazing decade. He did it when you really look at it. I mean, and he's still at the top of his game, still winning titles. But, and I didn't even talk about all the mid-card titles he's won or tag team titles. He's won just so many titles in the past 10 years. It's insane when you look at it. He might be overlooked by a lot of people when you think about it because he's not Mr. Five-Star Match. But the man has done a lot in the business in the past 10 years. And it's when you look at his whole body of work, without a question, AJ Styles was the most deserving of getting this Smarky Award.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I forget who you said at first. You said somebody else at first.
Robert Roode.
You know what? Robert Roode did have a really good decade. When you think about it, because he went that same almost that same route. He didn't end up in New Japan. But he did win tag team gold and fortune. He was the Impact World Champion. He never held the NWA title.
No.
Oh, AJ Styles even was in Ring of Honor for a little while, and I think he won the Ring of Honor title in this decade.
Might have, I don't know.
He had made a return there, and I'm pretty sure he won the Ring of Honor title he was there for a cup of coffee, won the title, and dropped it back real quick. But yeah, Bobby Roode, definitely a solid runner-up to that, which is interesting that they both started in Impact at the beginning of the decade and are now both in WWE.
It's just because Bobby Roode hasn't won a world title yet in WWE.
Well, he was NXT champ.
He was NXT champ, that's right. He's been tag champ. He's been...
Intercontinental champ? Maybe US champ?
Yeah.
He's done his thing.
World champion yet. But no, it's definitely AJ Styles. He's definitely been a man for the last 10 years.
And he's like, the guy's like 42 and still winning gold. Yeah. Which is funny because people complain about the old guys winning gold on NWA Power. Meanwhile, AJ Styles is 42.
Yeah.
Just saying. He's older than Damian Sandow. Kennedy. He's there too, you know that, right? He's in NWA.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ken Anderson's there. Aaron Stevens, formerly known as Damian Sandow. Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
Best character over there, to me, is the question mark.
The question mark?
Who is the question mark? That's right. I'm giving you homework. Go watch some NWA Power. Watch the first episode. And you're going to be like, all right, I got to check this out a little bit more. And I think there's been 11 episodes so far, or 10 episodes so far, something like that.
Only 11? Is that it? Only 11 shows?
Yeah, it's only been around for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And then the pay-per-view Into the Fire. But it's good. Definitely something to go watch and to get into for the new year. Get into Power and check it out. You know, it's funny. It's funny because they do the 80s camp stuff. Like the character that's the question mark is a masked guy who wears a mask with a question mark on it. It's clearly this wrestler, Josephus, who is suspended from the NWA right now. They suspended him, and the question mark showed up. Classic 80s storyline where a guy would get kicked out or have a lose-his-leave match and then come back wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I think that what's going to happen is the question mark is going to win the television tournament and become the television champion and then be unmasked to be Josephus.
Kind of like The Miz?
Yeah, kind of like The Miz.
Yeah. Mr. America?
Yeah. They never unmasked Mr. America, though.
It's true.
We still don't know who that guy was.
I know. It should have been anybody.
Anybody. Crazy. But, man, what a great year of wrestling despite all the shit that we saw and went through. I mean, there's a lot of complaining and a lot of shit that we're just like, oh, this is horrible. But there were a lot of good things too. I feel like for every shit storyline, there was at least one good one.
Yeah.
For every shit gimmick, there was at least one good one. For every shit match, there was at least one good one. For every shit pay-per-view, there was at least one good one. Maybe not 2-1, but at least even.
Yeah.
There's been a resurgence in wrestling this year. Where last year, it was pretty much Ring of Honor, WWE, and Impact struggling to keep a stronghold, to Impact turning around and getting more solid, AEW debuting, NWA having a resurgence and now having their own show. All the indies that have just been blowing up everywhere. Look, Evolve gets this deal with the WWE. NXT UK expansion. New Japan now launching their US brand as well. So we're going to have New Japan US. Just a great year overall for professional wrestling. I think 2020 is going to be an even better year because it's just built up to this. We haven't even hit a crescendo yet. So this is going to be a great, great year. I look forward to next year, Smarkies. I look forward to doing 52 episodes between now and next year's Smarkies. That's my goal.
Good luck on that.
What?
Good luck on that.
Oh, it's you.
Not me.
I'm just going to get substitutes when I can't get you to do a show, when you're too busy. Like, listen, I got to record. I'm getting a substitute.
I'm too busy, man. You always tell me something, and I say, okay, fine, and then I never hear from you again.
Yeah, you're right. I'm too busy. I got like 9 jobs. I'm like the guy from Hey Man. I do everything.
Well, stop having 3 jobs.
Well, I got nothing to say. I'm just going to drink my whiskey.
You have 9 jobs, you have no jobs.
I'm going to drink my whiskey here and just shut my mouth. But, yeah, it was a great year of wrestling. This was a fun episode. I love doing shit like this. The Smarkies. But other than that, man, it's great to be back. It was great to do this episode. I'm looking forward to doing next week's episode. What we'll run down next week, I haven't the slightest freaking clue. But until then, well, before we get out of here, you want to say anything to anybody out there?
No.
Well, I want to say from the Smarks, I know it's past already, but a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you might celebrate. Happy Holidays to you from the Smarks. And I hope you all have a happy and safe new year. Be careful out there. Don't get too drunk. Don't get too high.
There are a lot of weirdos out there.
Yeah, there are a lot of weirdos out there. Be safe wherever you go, whatever you do. We're going to see you next year. Next time you hear from us, it will be next year. But until next year, I'm Sean Puff.
And I'm IK.
And this has been Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Geeks. Hey, Cena, get us out of here. Big ups, Boston.
Dirty South represent Chi-Town, L.A., they don't do nothing. We got a little something bubbling in the bean bottle, man, you know? I got my crew right back, gonna show you how it's done. Straight up, hitting 1-2 like Manny and Ortiz, you heard? It's John Cena, baby, and we heating up the bean pot. Big up Boston, you know the whole team, ha! Yo, we fresh, y'all, a little bit stale. And we about to make it ugly just like Kevin McHale. Cena taking over. I'm about to make the scene mine. I got a tea party, baby, meet me on the green line. Ain't too many kids that flow better than me. Roll thick like Yaz and Sideburns in 73. Like Tom Brady and the Pats, we rolling kids. Cross me and pay a toll like the Tobin Bridge. From the home of the curse, y'all know what I mean. We like the left field wall, stacking monster green. Knock you out in the park, you land in Yorkie Way. My shit be butter, but around here we say parquet. I rep my home team, we taking over the industry. Like the Big Dick, baby, nobody can finish me.
The Smarks in here, yeah.